ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधी साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि. ॐ सहना भवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ॐ. ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्. हरि ओम् एवरीबडी. ऐ अण्डर्स्टाण्ड् दट् पीपल् अ फ्यू पीपल् हेव् फौण्ड् इट् डिफिकल्ट् टु अण्डर्स्टाण्ड् these verses. Nothing to feel bad about it. I believe, if I remember correctly, before we started the chapter, I did mention that those of you who have joined in just for this chapter will find it difficult to understand this, because without the background of the previous 12 chapters, or without some sort of background in Vedanta, it is difficult to understand this, because this chapter is talking about the highest. From verses 13 to 17 is a description of God or Ishvara as given in the Vedas. This is a description from the Veda mantras. So it is the highest. There's nothing higher than this. And so it is difficult to understand. And I will go over it once again. But what I would really like to know is, first of all, you know, I would like the videos on of everybody, if possible, especially of those who have expressed that they found it difficult to understand. So I need to know, like, what part is it? Some part, or is it only 13 verse, or is it 13 to 17? So I can, depending on that, I can explain. So, Vinita, do you know exactly what?
I think it was 13 through 17.
13 to 17, okay. All
including
right.
Me, so I'm including myself in that. Suman is including herself.
Suman is included, okay. Anybody else that I know?
I don't know, yes. I don't have the guarantee.
Rashmi. I also asked because it was hard to grasp.
Okay. All right. So let's do this once again with a totally different angle. Those of you who have understood might find this a little bit more basic. So just bear with me. Okay. Let's start with 13 and let's start with the first word, Neyam. What is indicated by Neyam is God. God, G-O-D, God. Okay. Bhagwan is saying what is to be known and what is worthy of knowing is God alone, Ishvara alone. Now the question comes, who or what is this God or what is this Ishvara? So in normal parlance, if you would ask anybody, they'll say, yeah, Ram is a God, Krishna is God, Shiva is there, Ganesha is there, Hanuman also, Mata Rani also, they are all gods. So yeah, that is correct, not wrong. But as defined in the Vedas, because I told you, this is a description from the Vedas. So the Upanishads, and especially one Upanishad I'll quote, all Upanishads say the same thing. But Taittiriya Upanishad says, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma Yo Veda Nihitam Guhayam. So this God that we call Ram or Krishna or whatever is actually defined in the Vedas as existence, satyam, jnanam, consciousness, and anantam, infinite, which is bliss, ananda. And yo veda nihitam guhayam, it is guha, guha is a cave. It is hidden in the cave of our heart, and that's where we have to look for it. This is a straight definition from the Upanishad. I'm going to, every step I'm going to ask if that point, up to that point, it's clear or not. Is it clear up to here? Okay, all right, okay. So let's start with a very common example of electricity and appliances. Okay. Bear with me. Oh, I'm going right from the bottom. So if you take example of my own condo, I'm sitting in a room, there is a bulb up there over my head, and there is a computer, and both these are dependent, are run by electricity. Agree? Understood? Okay, fine. To my left is my kitchen. And in the kitchen, there is a range. There is a microwave. There is a fridge. I'm not giving you information on my house, but point is that also those three appliances or whatever more that I have in there are run by electricity. Agree? Fine. You go further left. In my bedroom is a TV. And what is that running on? Electricity. Simple? Okay, fine. Now, there is electricity here. I know right now because the light is on and the computer is working. But my range is off because my cooking is over. My TV is off. I'm not watching it. So is there electricity there right now? Right now, here there is electricity, no problem, because the computer is on and the light is on. But the TV is off and the range is off. Is there electricity there right now? Clear? There is electricity. Okay, fine. Point clear. Now, there is this computer, appliance, whatever. It's here. There is electricity here. There is in between here and the range, there is actually no appliance. Okay, because there is a path. So how many of you think that there is no electricity between here and the range? Do you think there is electricity between here and the range, or there is no electricity? In the wall, of course, not outside. There is electricity, very good, very good. There is also electricity between the range in the kitchen and the TV in the bedroom. There is electricity through the wall, okay? On my right is my other bedroom. There is a light there. There is electricity there also. And in between this. So what we can say is electricity is all pervading in my condo. Clear? Right? So I can turn a light on. It is all pervading. And it is, empowering different kinds of appliances. So the upadhis or the appliance. So this is a computer. It has got a totally different function than the bulb up there. And these two have got a totally different function than the range. And the range is totally different from the fridge. And the TV is even totally different from everything else. Clear? And no matter what the function of the appliance is, the power is only coming from electricity. Okay, only electricity is empowering every appliance, and electricity is all pervading in my condo. All right, okay, fine. So imagine that one day all my appliances fail. It's hypothetical. All of them fail. So range is not working, TV is not, computer, something went wrong. Is anything happening to the electricity? Right? Even right now, my computer can fail. We hope not. But will that affect the electricity in any way? Okay, fine. So can I say that my appliances are dependent on electricity, but electricity is not dependent on the appliances? Is this point clear? Very good. Excellent. Now let's move on to our body. What I know, because we go from known to unknown. So what I know very well is this body of mine. So if I ask you, show me your eyes, no problem. You'll say, oh, these are my eyes. What? Of course, you're going to think this is a stupid question, but play along with me. And I say, where are your hands? And then you can say, oh, these are my hands and these are my legs. And you can show. Okay, fine. Clear? Or you can ask me, Jaya, where is your nose? I'll say, oh, here's my nose. Here are my ears. Go a little bit further. I say to you, show me your brain. Okay, or you can say it to me. So what am I going to say? Oh, I'm sorry, you know, I really can't open my skull myself and show you, but I'll tell you my brain is here. I can point out, right? Where is your heart? Pointing out to the chest. Here's my heart. Okay, where is the liver or the spleen? At least, even though I don't know human anatomy, I know it's not in my head. They're not in my head. They're in my stomach area. I can point out. Correct? Okay. Now I go a little bit further. If this is clear, then if we go a little bit deeper and we say that I ask you, tell me, are you alive? You can ask me. It goes both ways. So you can ask me, Jaya, are you alive? So what am I going to say? What is my answer going to be? You should know that the very fact that I'm speaking, that means I have to be alive. Otherwise, how could I have spoken? Is this point clear? Okay. Or you can say to me, hey, Ga, you know what, Jaya, we are listening to you. Otherwise, how could we have listened? We are alive. Okay, fine. Let's go one step further. So do you agree that there is life force within you? If you say you're alive, what does it mean? That means there is life force within you. Okay. Now I say to you, show me life. Show me life. Can you? Can you show me life? I'm asking you to show me life. You can't show me life, right? You can only say, you can only show me an expression of that life. Same way, the computer working is an expression that there is electricity in my house. Because the computer, it's an expression. It is not electricity. The computer working or me speaking or you listening is only an expression of that life force, which can never be seen. Okay. Nayam, as per the Vedas, is that life force, which can never be seen. All right. Now, in our example, we all agreed that, yeah, this computer is working here and the range is over there. But in between the computer and the range, there is still electricity through my walls. We agreed on that, right? We said, and it's all pervading. Okay, now we come to ourselves. There is life force here. And imagine we are in the same room. If we were in the same room, then there is life force in all the people that are sitting in front of me. Is there a life force between me and you? Some are saying yes. Others are confused. Electricity, you agree? Electricity is between here and there. You agree? Huh? So why not life force? Why not life force, right? It's God. I told you, it's Nayam. Vedas say that this Sat Chit Anand Brahma, infinite, it is infinite, it is all pervading, which indicates that there is, yes, there is a life force here, and yes, there is a life force where you are sitting, but between you and me, even though there is empty space, there is nothing, there is still the existence principle. God is a principle. Please understand, this is the highest definition of God. Yes, Rama and Krishna and the idols and everything are God. But what is actually God is a formless, all-pervading principle of existence, which itself is consciousness. And how do I know that? Existence and consciousness. I know that I'm existing, and at the same time, I am aware. I know that I'm existing. I exist, and I know that I'm existing. So there is knowledge as well as there is existence. They are one. Sat and Chit are one. There is no difference. If they were different, you would have existence on one side and consciousness on one side. So you have a existence which has no consciousness, which is inert, and you have a consciousness which has no existence. So it can't be Sat and Chit. Another thing I'll tell you. Now, also the question is, if we go back to our electricity, the electricity which is empowering this computer and the electricity which will empower my TV when I complete this and go, is it same or is it different? It's the same. It's exactly the same, right? There's no difference. So the life force within me and the life force within all of you, not only all of you, all the beings in the world, all the animals, all the plants, all the reptiles, all the birds, do you think is different or is the same? Is the same. Exactly. So the life force within me and the life force in all the jivas, all of them, plants, even the existence principle is the same within me. I exist and a stone exists. So that is why in Hindu philosophy, even a stone is worshipped. Because even stone is God, because it has one third aspect of that definition. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. It has Satyam, it has existence, the stone. It only has one third, but nevertheless it does. So far so good? Clear? Okay. Little bit further. Now, let's go to the mind. We have emotions, right? All of us are very familiar with our emotions. Let's just take two. Love and anger. Just two. For examples. Okay. Now, if I tell you, show me love. Can you show me? Show me love. You can say, see, I'm hugging my child. That is love. I'm kissing my child. That is love. You can show me expression of love, but you cannot show me love. Right? Anger. Show me anger. You cannot show me anger either. The expression of these emotions are different in different people and different animals. You know, animals also show love. Those who have dogs, those who have cats, right? Even a cow, they say that when the calf is born, that calf is extremely dirty because she has just come out of the womb of the cow. The mother cow licks all that dirt off of her cow, of her calf. You think, isn't that love? What is that, right? So the expression of love or anger, if you take anger, then one person might cry when they're angry, right? We have seen all this. Or one person will shout, one person will hit, one person will throw things, all right? So the expression of these emotions are different in different beings. A dog will bark. When he's angry, the dog will bark, okay? So the expressions are different. Do you think that the anger is different or same? Same or different? You're nodding. Okay, raise hands who say same. All right, so there are some people who think no, anger is different. Lakshmi, you think anger is different?
Yeah, anger is different in everyone. They express in different ways. Anger might be different, but I mean, anger might be the same, but expression is different.
That is the point. Anger is the same. Remember that. Love is the same. The way of now the cow is licking her calf. That is her way of showing love. I mean, I'm not going to lick my baby. Did I lick my baby when it was born? I expected the nurse to bathe it. So I'm not going to show love in that way. I'm going to hug the baby or kiss the baby or whatever, but I am not. So expression is different, but love is the same. Anger is the same. Jealousy is the same. All the emotions are exactly same, whether they are in an animal or a bird or a, you know, birds. I have seen this. The mother bird actually brings the whatever food and she actually drops it in the beak of the baby, of the little bird. I've seen that. So that is their way of showing love. But the love is same. The point is, love is same. The expressions are different. Therefore, this life force within us, it's exactly the same in all of us. And that's why Bhagavan Shankaracharya has it from Brahmaji. Brahmaji is the highest being. Okay, Brahmaji from Brahmaloka is the considered the highest, most evolved, most intelligent, most evolved being, and to the lowest. So lowest is Pippilika. Pippilika is ant, a tiny, tiny ant, okay, or a blade of grass. So the life force in the ant, from the ant through to Brahmaji. So we are all in between. Then the ant, then the little bigger animal, rat, and then cat, and then dog, and then elephant, and then humans, and then, you know, devatas, and yakshas, and gandharvas, and kinnaras, and asuras, and everything. It's the same life force that is flowing through all of us. Is this clear? That is Niyam. That is to be known. Is that clear? The word is clear? Niyam? Okay, then let's go to Anadi Mat Param. Anadi, Anadi Mat. Before I walked into this house, before I bought the house, the first day I walked in, was there electricity in the walls already? No, Nitya, you think there was no electricity? Because I basically walked in and turned the light on and the light came on.
So this, but before the wiring.
No. When I walked in, so I cannot walk in before the wiring. So when I walked in, when I took possession, when they gave me the keys and I walked in, electricity was already there. Okay. Then while the appliance is working, like right now, I know electricity is there. And when I switch off the appliance, or I may go travel, when I went away and all my appliances were shut down, no lights, no nothing, nothing. Was electricity still there? It was still there. Anadi Mat is that which was there before a thing was perceived, during the thing is, while the thing is being perceived, and after the perception. So before I started this computer, there was electricity. Right now, there is electricity empowering the computer. And when I switch the computer off, their electricity will still remain. So the life force, when a child is born, do you think life force is created when the child is born? That's why anadi, it is beginningless. So you cannot say that life force, the body began. Yes, when the child was born, the body began. But life force is beginningless. So it already was there. Anadi Mat. Okay. Now the child is growing, and is there life in that child? Of course, because you see the movement, you see the expression. You never see life, but you see the expression of life. And then child gets old, and when a person dies, the life force goes away from that person. But does it go away from the rest of the world? Anadi Mat. Life force was there before the child was born. While the child is living, growing, then all the six modifications to the body, and in the old age, death, and life force goes away, but does it go away from all of us? Otherwise, if one tree died, all the trees would have died. We see even trees dying. Trees die too, right? So when one person dies, doesn't mean that everybody dies with him. So that is what Anadi Mat is. That this life force was there before, it's there during, and it will remain after. The principle, because it's a principle, that part is to be understood very clearly. This is high Vedanta. Okay, that's why chapter 12, Bhagwan already said, This is very easy. When you're told, look at God, God is so beautiful. And then Veda said, there is no form. Because when you're looking at the idol, you're looking at the form, and that form has got attributes. And those attributes can be described in words. I can say, Sri Ram is very fair. You know, he's wearing this type of clothes. He's holding a bow in his hand. He's wearing a, you know, crown on his head. Whatever attributes I can talk, because there is a form. Where there is a form, there will be attributes, right? There'll be a height. There'll be a weight of that form. There'll be a color of that form. That form will have worn clothes. That form will have some qualities. You know, he was expert at archery, whatever. So it'll have attributes, and when there are attributes, words can describe. Is this understood? Now, when we go into formless, there is no attributes. There are no attributes, formless. Form is limited, and there can be attributes. When you say, if I tell you space, space itself is all pervading, no attributes, formless. There are no words that can describe the formless. There cannot be words. And that is why na sat, na asat. This is what Bhagwan is saying here, that you cannot call it as existing, because all these, this whole world is nothing but pairs of opposites. In the world, if you look, is everybody following so far or getting confused?
Can I ask something, please, Kaji? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you said that Rama, Krishna and others are gods, but we can say the same way that they are the expressions of the higher God then, just like us.
Yes.
The expression of the life force are...
Yes.
Okay. So yes. They are the same way, except they have some... superpower.
They have a form. They have taken a form. And because they have taken a form, and because I have a form, it becomes very easy for me to relate to a form. Because yeah. I am very much identified with my form. And that is why Bhagwan said in chapter 12 that for the embodied one, what is an embodied one? An embodied one is one who is identified with his own form. It becomes very easy to understand the other form.
Okay, when we say that they take form or they come in the life, in the world, to do something good, so who sends them then?
The Supreme Reality. Supreme
the
Reality.
The same consciousness?
Consciousness, yeah. It take a form. Consciousness, Ishvara, Ishvara, there is a concept of Ishvara. Ishvara will take a form to... retain balance in the world. That's a different topic. Okay. So if we stay here, sat and asat are words which are opposed to each other. Where there is sat, there is no asat. Where there is asat, there is no sat. If you look at the world, there is rain and sunshine. There is autumn and there is spring. There is summer and there is winter. There is day and there is night. There's joy, sorrow, honor, dishonor, right? The entire world is only existing in this pairs of opposites. If the pairs of opposites were not there, there would be no world. And what we have to understand this life force to be, it is not opposed to anything. This principle of existence, consciousness, and bliss is not opposed to anything, because it is beyond this world. And therefore, if we call it as sat, it is satyam definition, but this sat, if you say it is real, sat, then it is opposed to unreal. And therefore, we cannot call it by any word. The other explanation also, like you have agreed that there is life force between this, in this empty space between you and me. Like electricity is there in between the appliances, there is life force. So what is happening is this empty space that is there in front of me is being supported by that life force. That's why I say there is nothing between you and me. So there is nothing. So the nothing is supported by the isness. So electricity, when I say there is electricity between here and the range, there is life force between here, me and you, this in between where there is nothingness or nothing is also supported by that force. How many of you have watched Star Wars or are Star Wars fans? Anybody? It's Vedanta. It's complete Vedanta, A to Z. The force. There's the dark force and there's the force. Darth Vader and force, Luke Skywalker. So that is the same. So that's why you cannot call it as Sat as well as, you cannot call it by any word. You cannot describe it by any word because it is formless. It has no attributes. Unless there are attributes, you cannot speak about it. And anything that has attributes has a form, and God does not have a form. That's why if you give God a form like Rama or Krishna, then you can talk about that. That's why people have written, you know, tons and tons of stotras and stutis and everything about the form. This is the formless Vedic God that we are talking about. All right. Now, yajnyatva amrutam ashnute. So having known this, one becomes immortal. How do I become immortal? So the first thing to understand here is knowing is not in the way that I know other things. See, in the material world, knowledge happens through the medium of thought. Is this point clear? I can see, I know how to start the computer. I know how to cook. I know how to drive. So that knowing is through thought. Anything in the external world, any knowledge, that is the difference between that knowledge and the knowledge of the self. The knowledge of the self is apart from thought. It is a vritti rahita jnana, vritti rahita. It's not vritti sahita. It is not a knowledge with thought or through thought. It is a knowledge beyond thought. And if so, this knowledge, when we say, when I know this life force or I know this supreme reality, it is not a knowing in the sense that I know geography or history or physics or chemistry. It is a realization of my own self, a realization. And my own self, this life force, because we have said it is anadimat, it was there before me and it is going to be there after me. And it is there even right now with me. Once I come to recognize myself to be that life force, I recognize that I'm immortal, that I have no death. There is no death to me. There is death to my body, but there is no death to me. And that's why amrutam ashnute, amrutam immortality. You can never become immortal in your body. Your body can never become immortal, but you are immortal because you are not the body. You are that life force. This is what Bhagwan is telling. Neyam, that is why you have to know. You have to know yourself. That's why we say, who am I? Who am I? You have to know yourself. So people think if when anybody, we ask somebody, you say, who are you? They'll first say, this is my name. This is my occupation. This is my family lineage, my tradition, my profession, my this, that, my bank balance, et cetera, et cetera. But they're all talking about the form. I'm very intelligent. I can play some musical instrument. I can sing. I can dance. I can... Whatever that I talk about is all referring to the body. So the real I, when I come to know that this I am that life force, which was there before, which is there now, which will remain afterwards, I become immortal. I am relieved from the fear of death, which is the greatest fear that we all have.
Jayaji.
Yes.
There is really no me.
Me in the sense of body, there isn't, but then, yeah, there is an I.
There is no me because after this body got, let's say the realized person and the body goes, then Atma merges and there is no me.
No, afterwards, there is no me. But while living, there is an I,
Yeah, while living.
That I is, in ignorance, it is the ego. It is a small I. And if I realize in during my lifetime, then I become the big I.
Yeah, during your lifetime. It's very short-lived, the realization.
Yeah. Is it clear so far? Are there any questions?
Somebody.
No questions?
Jayaji, I have a question.
Yes.
We talk about Brahma Satyam and Jagat Mithya, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in that context, then Brahma is actually the supreme reality is Satya. It has to be Sat.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
But then you said that it's neither Sat, you cannot say it's Sat or Asat, it's beyond both.
Yeah.
Can you please clarify that?
But no, where we say Sat, that is referring to Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. It is not opposed to Jagat. Jagat Mithya, you're thinking Brahman is real and Jagat is false.
Mm.
Right? Therefore, you're thinking they're opposite. Please understand, there is no world.
Mm.
There is no world at all. There is nothing opposed to Brahman because there is nothing other than Brahman there. Mm. If I have to be opposed to something, there has to be some other thing, na? The creation part also comes in this later. I was actually going to go into it today, but we'll stay with this. Is that clear? Does that clarify? Yeah. So that is just to explain to us. That this thing. So it is not Sat. It is Bhagwan Shankaracharya is not saying Brahman is Sat and Jagat is Asat. What he's saying is there is no Jagat at all. So it can't, there's nothing opposed to it. Okay, is this clear?
Yaji, when you say that the stone is Sat, but how can it be Sat if it's changing?
What is Sat, did I say, sorry?
You said Ram, Krishna, and then stone is same way, stone is Sat as well, only one quality. But then it's changing. So when anything is changing, can't be Sat.
Okay. So with that thing, my body is changing.
So it's not Sat.
And am I not Sat? My body is
unreal.
Not Sat.
Yes.
Body is unreal. But I am Sat.
Yeah.
Right? The stone is changing, but the existence principle in the stone is never changing. That part has to be very clear. What is changing is mithya. Is mithya. And the existence principle, the principle of existence, consciousness and bliss is real. It's really real. It never changes in the three periods of time. I have changed. You have changed. We all have changed. But is it the real me that has changed or is it my body which is mithya that has changed? So my body has changed, my mind has changed, my intellect has changed, agreed. But I have not changed. And the proof, you know, I myself am the proof. Because don't I even know that how I was in my childhood? And don't I feel the same in the middle ages? And don't I feel the same in old age? And that is why you hear people saying, I don't feel I'm old. I don't feel I'm old. What they don't recognize is that the body is getting old, but they are never getting old. Why? Because they are the substratum, which never ages, which never decays, which never has any disease. This appliances go bad. Electricity doesn't go bad.
Yeah.
Electricity doesn't have any defect. Computer will fail, you change the computer, whatever, you know, range, fridge, all those appliances go bad. They are subject to the six modifications. They asti, jayate, imriyate, pariniyate, change, disease, decay, death, everything is there to the appliance, but not to electricity. That's an example. Huh? So, electric, okay?
Jayaji, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So if you take it to the very basic, then all of us are the same. So the only way we vary or we have different personalities is because of our karma and our experience.
Karma, experience, and yes, and because of that karma, we have got a particular type of a body and a particular type of mind and a particular type of intellect, a particular type of upadhi, if I may say, a conditioning, yes. And that is why there is differences. So we see that one person is born in a rich family, in a poor family, in an intelligent one, you know, there are siblings in the same, one is intelligent, one is not, one is wanting to go for sciences, one is going for literature and dance and, you know, all those differences we see.
So if someone doesn't understand you, the non-understanding and the growth that we get from their non-understanding was our karma that we had to go through, that we need to learn, right?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Every experience that comes to us is because of our own karma. Okay? All right. Now the next verse, 14, is exactly like, these are the expressions of that life force. I told you, if I ask you, I cannot show you the life within me, but I can tell you that, do you see me speaking? Yeah, okay. So here in 14 and 15, 14, he talks about all the organs of action. So sarvata pani padam, pani hands, padam feet. So he says, all these legs and hands are mine. Mine means they're dependent on me. It is like electricity saying the computer is mine, fridge is mine, range is mine, TV is mine. So what does electricity mean? They are mine. It means they cannot function without me. So they are all mine only. And not only in your house, in my neighbor's house also, the electricity is going to say that fridge is also mine, that range is also mine. In my upstairs neighbor, downstairs neighbor, in the whole building, all the appliances, electricity is going to say they are all mine. Because none of them can function without my presence. So same way, supreme reality here, sarvata panipa, tat sarvatok shishiro mukham. All the heads are mine, all the eyes are mine, all the mouths are mine, noses are mine, everything is mine. Because nothing can function without me. Sarvata shruti malloke samavavrit, sarva mavritya tishtati. I remain enveloping everything. So electricity can say, I pervade through this entire building and all the appliances, no matter what they are. They could be a radio, music, whatever appliances there, they are all mine. Why? Because they cannot function without me. So okay. Here Bhagwan is saying all the hands that you see in this world, and hands means hands, legs of the animals also, paws, those whatever centipede has got, whatever 100 feet, all that is his, because nothing can function. Even a blade of grass cannot move without the sanction of the Lord. In Upanishad, blade of grass. So he says, even the blade of grass is mine. Everything right from blade of grass to Brahmaji, all dependent on me.
Excuse me, Jayaji. Mm-hmm. Does it have connection with the statement somewhere, I don't know which shloka it was, where Krishna says, I am in everybody and everybody
correct
is chapter not seven. In me, something like that.
Chapter, so everybody is in me, but I am not in them. It is like electricity saying all these appliances are dependent on me, but you can unplug all the appliances from the entire building and take them away. Do you think anything is going to happen to me?
And same thing about the
world. All the appliances away. Who cares? Electricity is going to say, I don't care. I can survive without them. They cannot survive without me, but I can survive without them. So that's why Bhagwan says there, they are in me, but I am not in them. Okay.
Yeah.
And the next one is Sarvendriya Gunabhasam. So this Indriyas, Indriyas is the sense organs, organs of perception, organs of action. They are all functioning because of me. I can see, I'm speaking. That means there is life force in me. I'm breathing. I'm seeing. I'm eating. I'm hearing. I'm touching, tasting, everything. And yet, the supreme reality does not have any eyes. Sarvendriya vivarjitam. I am myself. Electricity is saying, I have no appliances. I have no appliances. I don't have a range. I don't have anything. but yet the range cannot function without me. So Supreme Reality has no eyes, no legs, no hands, no tongue, no speech, no nose, no skin, nothing, no mind. Antakarana Rahita Ishwara. There is no antakarana. There is no mind. But all these things are functioning because of me. And asaktam, I'm asaktam, I'm unattached, I'm detached. Electricity, like electricity, I cannot threaten electricity saying, you know what, I'm going to unplug all my appliances from you. I don't want you. Electricity, okay, fine, no problem. You unplug. Doesn't matter to me. Nothing is going to happen to me. Electricity is very detached. There is no attachment. Oh, why did you, you know, buy this? Why couldn't you buy a Miele range? Why did you just buy a Kenmore ordinary one? Electricity is not going to say that. Asaktam, detached. Whatever is happening in the upadhi does not affect the Supreme Reality. So if my eyes are not functioning properly, that doesn't mean Supreme Reality, the life force, is not functioning properly. That is asakta. Now I need glasses, or I may need hearing aids, or whatever, you know, whatever additional help that I need from my eyes and ears, or whatever that I need. I might need a cane to walk tomorrow, but it doesn't mean that Supreme Reality needs a cane to walk. Asaktam. There's no connection. Whatever is happening with the upadhi, with the conditioning, has got nothing to do with the Supreme Reality. The upadhi is only functioning because of the Supreme Reality. It is the bulb. I put a 100 watt bulb, say, and then I change it to 40 watts. Electricity is not going down from 100 to 40. Electricity is same, but when I change the bulb, then the light is going to make a difference. Clear? All right. Asaktam sarva bhrija. So it is supporting everything. Supporting everything means without it, nothing can function. It's electricity is supporting all the appliances in the building, not only in the building, in the entire universe. Whichever appliance is an electrical appliance, including my car, by the way, I need electricity. So whatever appliance is needs electricity, electricity is supporting all of them. So Supreme Reality is supporting the entire universe, all the solar systems, everything. Clear? Nirgunam guna bhoktrucha. Nirgunam, I told you about these attributes. These gunas, these attributes, here guna doesn't, it means sattva, rajas, tamas, but attributes, these attributes only belong to the form. Attributes can only belong to the form. When there is a form, it will have a height, it will have a weight, it will have a color, it will have clothes, it will have intelligence, it will have emotions. All those things are, they fall under this category of gunas. And when there are these attributes, we can talk about them. I'm compassionate. I'm an angry person. I'm a jealous person. I'm very loving. I'm very intelligent. I'm tall. I'm short. I'm fat. I'm thin. All these things, we can talk about the form, but the formless is nirgunam. So there is absolutely, that's why there can be no words to describe this. I think I told you, Sant Naneshwar says, even to say Brahman, we have tainted the pure reality, the Supreme Reality. Even if you utter Brahman, it's that pure, he says. Sant Naneshwar is Advaita master. Guna bhoktrucha. Experiencer and yet experiencer of qualities. Experiencer means it is not the experiencer, but it is because of which these qualities are experienced. It is actually Supreme Reality is not experiencing anything. I told you, it has no mind. Where is experience happening at our level? It's happening in the mind, na? In the mind, I feel happy or sad, or, you know, if my skin touches hot, in the mind, I feel like, you know, skin burns, it will show. But in the mind, I feel that heat. Na? Experience happens in the mind. The counter of experience is the body. But the experiencer is the mind. But the experience in the mind is happening because of the Supreme Reality. Okay. All right. Bahirantascha bhutanam acharam charame. So he's saying, I am inside and I'm outside. Inside means what? Inside my body, as well as outside the body. I already told you, the life force is within me, the life force is within you, but there is life force in between us also. That is what is meant here. Bahihi and antaha. With regards to the upadhi, electricity can say, I am inside this computer right now, and I am outside in the walls also. Right? It is in the wall also. In the other, in my living room wall, bedroom wall, electricity is there. So electricity is saying, I am in the computer right now, but I am there also. Bahi anta. With regards to the upadhi. So life force is within me, within you, and in between us. And in chara and achara, this is what I meant, stone. I am in the stone. Achara is that which is not chara. Charati is to move. The word means moving. So there is moving and unmoving. So moving is live beings. So human beings, animals, plants move, means not the plant, but leaves move, branches move. And then achara is inert objects. So there is stone, there is table, there is chair, there is everything. Clear? Okay. Sukshatmat advidneyam. So because of my subtlety, that is what I told you in the first thing. If I tell you, show me life, you can't. This is what is meant by this. So because it's very subtle. See, when I tell you, show me eyes, they're gross. So you can immediately show me, here are my eyes, here is my ears. Then I tell you, show me brain. You cannot show me, but you can point out because it is subtle, right? It is inside. It's going inside. So it's subtle. So you say, oh, my brain is here, but I cannot actually see. You cannot see my brain, or I cannot physically see it because it's sukshma. Now, when we go still further in, show me mind, even if I say, I mind cannot be shown. And now this is even subtler than that. So that's why that life force can never be shown or seen. And this is what avidneyam, it cannot be known. Durastam chantike chatata. So those who believe in God, believe in the Vedas, understand this, for them it is very close. And for those who don't believe, it's very far. Or you can say that if there is, if I'm near somebody, now of course social distancing is there, but if I'm near somebody, then this consciousness is close to me. Or if somebody is very far away from me, then consciousness is far away from me. Now it becomes simple. Is there any confusion? Is it being grasped? Okay, it's okay. Avibhaktam cha bhuteshu. Avibhaktam, undivided. Okay. So if you go back to our example, electricity inside the wall, is it divided anywhere or is it continuous? It is a continuous flow. So this life force, this supreme reality, it's continuous. It's all pervading. It's sarvavyapi. So it's all pervading. There is no break in it. We think there is a break. Why do I think? Because I think, okay, consciousness is here and consciousness is in you. And there is a break between you and me. That's why I already explained that even in between, there is consciousness. That's why I already explained electricity is there in between the computer and the range. So it's unbroken. Electricity is unbroken. The expression of that electricity is broken because the computer is only here, the range is only there, and the TV is only there. So the expressions are broken, but this electricity is avibhaktam, undivided. Okay. Vibhaktam mivacha sthitam. So it appears divided because electricity is there in the computer, or life force is in me and it's in you, and now it appears divided because of the upadhi, because of the conditioning. It appears divided. Eva word is very important in Vedanta because everything is Eva only. It appears real. Eva sat jagat appears real. Everything is an appearance. So it appears as though it is divided because there is consciousness in me and in you, but it is actually not divided. It is continuous. It is all pervading. Bhuta bhartru cha tadneyam. This, there are three words here. Understand this. So bhuta bhartru refers to Vishnu, Bhagwan Vishnu. Vishnu means what? Maintenance. See, in our trinity, there is Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh. Grasishnu is to devour. So devour is who? Shivji. And Prabha Vishnu, Prabhava, you know, Prasuti word comes like in, you know, Prasuti is delivery. So creation. So that Prabha Vishnu refers to Brahmaji. So what is being said is that this supreme reality itself is appearing as this Trinity. So that's why Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh are nothing but the supreme reality. They are also dependent on the supreme reality for their existence. And then the laws are like the duties are divided. So Brahmaji is supposed to create, Vishnu is supposed to sustain, and Rudra is supposed to devour. Is this clear? Any questions? Let me know if there's any confusion right now, and then next time I can think of some other ways of explaining.
No, actually, with your electricity example, it really clarified like a whole lot of confusion. So I think at least I'm quite okay. Right. Thank you, Daddy.
Anybody else? Rashmi?
Yes, Jaji, thank you very much. And so I just going to clarify, when we are seeing snake and rope example, so we have to see snake, where we are seeing snake, right there, underlying reality, right there, underlying, right? So that's the way on mithya, when we are seeing everything mithya, just what is the underlying mithya?
Substratum, yes.
That's it.
Yes.
Okay.
The substratum intellectually, is real, yeah.
Yes, right? That's what I got. Thank you.
So is this clear? Can we move forward next week? Believe it or not, ever since Vinita, you phoned me, which was Friday, I thought, okay, now how am I going to explain all this? And I was thinking about it. And you know, when the answer came to me today morning at 3 o'clock, I woke up and suddenly this thought came to me that this is how I need to explain this. That's why I wanted to know exactly what was not understood. If I know, because if everybody said 13 verse, 13 verse, 13. So I thought, is it only verse 13? Is it some word from verse 13? Or is it the end of it? 13 to 17, understand, is the definition of God as per Upanishads, as per Vedas. So this is the highest definition. And the reason, because it is that difficult, Bhagwan already said, do the 20-point program. Jnanam, that'll come. So that's why he said, Jnanam, you have to have that, you know, those means, that much purity of mind to understand this, or at least there has to be a whole lot of background. Just if anybody wants to join my Sunday class where I'm beginning Bhagavad Gita now, chapter one, only two or three lectures have been done there on YouTube. Either you can watch on YouTube my lectures or you can join the Sunday class. You're more than welcome to come, okay? And whoever is members in Calgary, they don't have to take any membership in Vancouver or anything. But if anybody would like to join that class, you can write to me or you can write to Abhimanyu and then I can have you guys put on there. It will give you more clarity if you go from chapter one to up above. That's why I said in the beginning of this chapter only, I said that it's going to be difficult for some. Okay, but it's all clear now. No more questions. Good. So next time we'll proceed with verse 18. Swasti prajabhya paripalayantam nyayena margena mahim mahishaha go brahmane bhishubhamasu nityam loka samasta sukino bhavantu kale varshatu parjanyaha prithivi sasya shalini desho yamchovarita brahmana santu nirbhayaha om sarvesham swasti bhavatu sarvesham shantir bhavatu sarvesham purnam bhavatu sarvesham mangalam bhavatu sarve bhavantu sukhinaha sarve santu niramayaha सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत् ओम सतो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमय ओम पूर्णमिदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ओम शांति Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. I'll see you all next Monday. Have a good and safe week.
Thank you.